Dr. William Luther Pierce. The Year 2000. Lies and the History Channel.
Hello. The biggest threat to our people, the biggest obstacle to our survival and progress, is the Jewish control of the mass media of news and entertainment. I've said that to you many times. Today I want to talk about some very specific examples of the way in which this threat works. Last month, a special television documentary program began airing on the History Channel, which is a subsidiary of A&E Television Networks. The A&E stands for Arts and Entertainment. The name of the program is Nazi America, A Secret History. It purports to be a serious history of the growth of the Nazi movement in America, starting with the German-American Bund and its precursor organizations in the 1930s, and taking us right up to the present. I don't have the time to view many television programs except the national and international news each day, primarily to see what the party line is. That is to see what spin the Jews are putting on the news. This History Channel documentary was of special interest to me, however, because I was part of it. Beyond the fact that I'm in the program, I knew intimately another person who was given major coverage in the program, and I have detailed knowledge of several other persons and events covered by the program. So when I viewed the program, I paid careful attention and took notes. What I noted generally about the program is that in addition to the standard slant which they put on everything they produce, there were a number of very clear-cut and blatant lies. Lies of both omission and commission. And it occurred to me that these lies are so clear and so easily refuted by anyone who knows the facts that I should share them with you. They provide useful clues to Jewish motives and also perhaps an antidote to other Jewish lies. One other thing about this particular History Channel program, it will be shown more than once. You can keep your eyes open for it and watch it the next time it is shown, keeping in mind the facts that I'll share with you today. If you're really serious about what's happening to America, you can even order a copy of the tape from the History Channel and then study it yourself the way I did. It'll cost you $29.95, but the lesson is worth it. The first thing to note is the general slant of the program. That slant is to lump together everyone the Jews consider a threat to their own plans for America as a Nazi, and then to portray Nazis as dangerous subversives and terrorists who need to be locked up in order for the country to be safe. Nazis are portrayed as weird and unpleasant people, strange and dangerous people, not at all like you and me. The purpose behind this is not just lingering Jewish hatred for the German Nazis who put a real crimp in the Jews' plans for Europe 60 years ago. It is a current concern of the Jews that too many people are speaking out against them today, and too many people are listening, especially with the Internet not yet subject to Jewish censorship. The Jews' aim is first to demonize the people who don't like them, and then to outlaw them, cut them off from contact with the public, keep them from speaking out. So let's look at the specifics. The first part of the program deals with 1930s organizations such as Friends of the New Germany and the German-American Bund, which tried to counter the Jews' hate propaganda against Germany and America, to build unity among German Americans, to help Americans generally understand what Adolf Hitler was doing in his rebuilding of Germany, and to a lesser extent to propagate Hitler's National Socialist ideas in America. And I should tell you now that this part of the program on the German-American Bund, just like all the rest of the program, is chock full of errors which are the result of ignorance and sloppy research more than malice. For example, the program states that Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, was published in 1924 and that Hitler was appointed Chancellor of Germany in 1932. Both dates are incorrect, as anyone can determine by reference to an encyclopedia. In 1924, Hitler was in prison for revolutionary activity and was just beginning to write Mein Kampf. And he didn't become chancellor until 1933. I point out these errors simply to remind you that the controlled media very often are wrong in their facts, even when they're not consciously lying. But they present those facts in an apodictic way, and few Americans question them. In its treatment of the Bund, however, the program goes beyond sloppiness in its errors and turns to deliberate deceit. It talks, for example, about New York Congressman Samuel Dickstein's investigation and harassment of the Bund and his labeling of it as a subversive organization. What the people who wrote the program certainly knew, but neglected to tell the audience, was that Congressman Dickstein was also a Soviet espionage agent, not just a communist or communist sympathizer like so many of his fellow Jews, but a secret agent actually on the payroll of the Soviet NKVD. So in the 1930s, what we had was a Jewish Soviet espionage agent pretending to be an American patriot denouncing what he called the un-American influence of the Bund. Dickstein's role as an NKVD agent was revealed as old NKVD archives were opened following the collapse of communist power and the breakup of the Soviet Union in the early 1990s. But there wasn't a word of that in the History Channel program. Dickstein was represented simply as a concerned congressman. But because he was a congressman and a Jew, both the Roosevelt administration and the Jewish media collaborated with him in railroading the Bund's chairman, Fritz Kuhn, into prison on a trumped-up embezzlement charge in 1939. Not revealing Dickstein's employment by the NKVD was a lie of omission. A really outrageous lie of commission occurs a little later in the program when it moves into the post-war period and focuses on George Lincoln Rockwell, the World War II Navy flyer and combat veteran who organized the National Socialist White People's Party in the 1960s. The program shows news footage of some of Rockwell's public meetings in Washington, while the program's narrator comments that Rockwell, quote, added gays and Catholics to his list of threats to the future of the white race, end quote. Then, between scenes of Rockwell speaking, a headline fills the screen. It reads, and I quote, hate document bared. I will kill every Jew, Catholic, and Negro, end quote. The clear implication is that this statement about killing every Jew, Catholic, and Negro was made by Rockwell. But it wasn't. It was pure invention by the people who made this program. I knew Rockwell quite well and worked with him closely on the production of a magazine for a year before his murder in 1967. He was totally removed from any sectarian bickering between Catholics and Protestants and accepted them on an equal basis. He had a number of practicing Catholics in his organization. This Jewish trick of trying to divide Catholics from Protestants has been used before, but in Rockwell's case, it is especially inappropriate. Furthermore, Rockwell never made a statement about killing all homosexuals, although he certainly disapproved of homosexuality. The deliberate deceit continues as the program moves into the period after Rockwell's death. The narrator announces that Rockwell's organization floundered after his death until the next Nazi leader came forward, Frank Colin emerged from Rockwell's shadow in 1970. I'm using the narrator's exact words here. The clear implication is that Frank Colin, a short, dark, hook-nosed little man with a flair for theatrics, was Rockwell's successor. There is no mention at all of Rockwell's actual successor, a man named Matt Cale. And there is no mention that Colin was a Jew. Not only was he a Jew, but he was a poser and an exhibitionist, pretending to be a National Socialist leader while putting on a media sideshow which attracted to him a small group of losers and misfits who liked to wear uniforms and strut around in public. While the media focused on Colin, whose sole claim to fame was the uproar he generated when he announced that he intended to march his uniformed freak show through Skokie, Illinois, a Jewish suburb of Chicago, Rockwell's real successor was left without access to the media. At the end of the Colin episode, the narrator does reveal to us that Colin was convicted and sent to prison in 1979 for sexually molesting little boys. But we are left with the impression that this smirking, prancing, child-molesting little Jew was a real National Socialist, the successor of George Lincoln Rockwell. That's the image of a National Socialist, the image of a Nazi that the writers of this program deliberately and deceitfully plant in the public mind. Actually, Colin was exposed as a Jew in the Chicago press back in the 1970s. Interviews with his parents were published in the newspapers. But that was more than 20 years ago, and the folks at the History Channel figured that the public has forgotten about that. And Frank Colin is not the only Jew trotted out as a Nazi by the program, which is supposed to tell us about the history of Nazis in America. The Columbine killers, Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, also are represented as Nazis, although they are not named directly in the program. Instead, as images flash across the screen, we hear the narrator naming a series of people involved in recent killings, and the narrator tells us, one at a time, that they are Nazis. James Burmeister, an 82nd Airborne soldier at Fort Bragg, who shot a convicted black drug dealer in Fayetteville, North Carolina in December 1995, is described as a Nazi, although there has never been any evidence presented in this regard. Certainly he was not a member of any National Socialist group, or that fact would have been brought out at his trial. Then there is John King, convicted in the dragging murder of a black in Jasper, Texas in 1998. King also is described by the narrator as a Nazi, although again there is no evidence to suggest this. What we do know about King is that he acquired a burning hatred for blacks after being gang raped by them while in prison. Perhaps we are supposed to assume that everyone who doesn't like blacks is a Nazi, perhaps even everyone who is not politically correct. One of those in this series of supposed Nazis is Benjamin Smith, who killed a black and a Korean in drive-by shootings in Illinois last year. Another is the apparently deranged Buford Furrow, who shot a Filipino postman in California last year after wounding several Jews in a Jewish community center. So far as we know, none, not one, of these killers was a Nazi in the sense of having a serious belief in National Socialism and belonging to a National Socialist group. So the way the program worked the Jewish Columbine killer Dylan Klebold into the series was to have the narrator recite a series of names of killers while their faces flashed on the screen, and assert in each case that the killer is or was a Nazi. It went like this. James Burmeister, face. John King, face. The Columbine killers, no face. Benjamin Smith, face. Buford Furrow, face. Clever, aren't they? They know how to lie without actually lying. Even a reasonably intelligent and perceptive viewer will be tricked by this technique unless he happens to know the facts. The facts, of course, are that Dylan Klebold was a Jew, and both he and his partner were outspoken anti-racists. But the average couch potato certainly doesn't know that, and so he falls into the trap of believing that the perpetrators of the worst school massacre in U.S. history were Nazis. Timothy McVeigh also is represented in the program as a Nazi, and the Oklahoma City bombing as an act of Nazi terrorism. The narrator tells us McVeigh was a neo-Nazi. There is no evidence to suggest that he was or is. What we know about him is that he hated the Clinton government and decided after the government burned all of those women and children to death in the Branch Davidian Church in Waco that he would send the government a message. We also know that he read one of my books, The Turner Diaries. If everybody who has read The Turner Diaries is a Nazi, then the media Jews really have a problem on their hands, because the number of readers is now somewhere close to 500,000. But really, that's like saying that everyone who reads the New Testament is a Christian, and everyone who reads the Old Testament is a Jew, and everyone who reads the Quran is a Muslim. A Nazi, a National Socialist, is a person who holds a very specific set of beliefs, a person who accepts the doctrine set forth in Hitler's Mein Kampf, just as a Christian is a person who accepts the teachings of Jesus and the claims made in the New Testament about his miraculous origin and his resurrection. And a communist is a person who believes the economic and social doctrines of the Jew Karl Marx. This History Channel program starts with real Nazis, the leaders of the Bund, and continues with another real Nazi of a different sort, George Lincoln Rockwell, and then cleverly ties these real Nazis into a series of Jewish child molesters, antisocial freaks and exhibitionists of various sorts, and people who have committed racial killings or acts of terrorism. And it's all done very smoothly, in a very slick way, a very Jewish way. The aim, of course, is to not only persuade viewers that Nazis are very unpleasant people, as if more than 60 years of anti-German propaganda films from Hollywood haven't already done that, but also to persuade us that Nazis are dangerous and we need to do something about them. We need new laws to protect ourselves from these dangerous Nazis. You might wonder why they don't just tell us the truth about Nazis and let the chips fall where they may. Why not just tell us that Nazis don't believe in equality, that Nazis don't believe in multiculturalism and enforced diversity, that Nazis don't believe that men and women are the same? Why not just tell us that Nazis don't approve of homosexuality? Why not just tell us that Nazis aren't Democrats, that Nazis believe in self-sufficiency and self-discipline and personal honor and a natural hierarchy? Why not just tell us that Nazis are racists and they don't like Jews? That should be enough if all of the Jewish television propaganda about equality and diversity and democracy has had the desired effect. That should be enough to make every politically correct viewer hate Nazis. So why do they feel it's necessary to lie to us and try to make us believe that Nazis are people like the Jewish child molester Frank Collin and the Jewish mass murderer Dylan Klebold? Why do they feel it's necessary to try to make us believe that everyone who has tattoos and doesn't like blacks is a Nazi? Why do they feel it is necessary to lie to us by telling us that Nazis want to kill Catholics? Are they afraid that all of their anti-German hate propaganda and all of their political correctness propaganda haven't taken? I'll tell you what they're afraid of. They're afraid of the truth. Listen to the part of this History Channel program which is about me. That's about 90 minutes into the program. And what they'll tell you is that all of the violence and strife in America during the past few decades is the result of people reading my books, of people listening to the ideas that I talk about. If I hadn't written the Turner Diaries, if I didn't have a radio broadcast every week, if I weren't on the Internet, they'll have you believe, there wouldn't have been an Oklahoma City bombing and a dragging in Jasper, Texas, and a Columbine High School massacre, and we'd all be getting along and loving one another in multicultural comfort and security. And then they very slyly tell you, Pierce is protected by his right to free speech. And they say it in a way that means Pierce was able to get away with putting people up to all of this violent activity because he hides behind the First Amendment. What we need, they suggest, is new laws to keep Pierce from hiding behind the First Amendment. And you know, there are a lot of couch potatoes out there, a lot of women of both sexes who believe that. I get hate mail every day from people who ask me, aren't you ashamed for causing all of those people to die in Oklahoma City? Others blame me for the Columbine High School massacre. Really, they don't blame the Clinton government. They don't blame the liberals for making a pigsty of America. They don't blame the people who force the races together and generate racial hatred by doing it. That would require independent thinking. No, they blame me, and they nod their heads wisely and agree with the History Channel narrator that we need new laws to keep people like Pierce from causing violence. The Jews and their hangers-on are afraid of the truth getting to large numbers of people, especially through new media such as the Internet, and they do want to put a stop to it. That's why they tell the sort of lies that this History Channel program is full of. They want to scare the couch potatoes. And I want to make sure that the independent thinkers see those lies and understand that they are lies and also understand why they're being told. If you want to help me with this work, then this History Channel program, Not See America, A Secret History, is a tool that you can use too. Talk to people you know about the lies in it. Help people to understand the poisonous and destructive way in which the Jews use their control of our mass media. Help people to understand that they're not being educated when they watch the History Channel. They're being brainwashed. They're being lied to. And talk about the details. I don't know about you, but I'm always skeptical when someone waves his arms and makes a general statement. I want the specifics. I want the details. I want the facts so that I can make up my own mind. Anyway, that's why I've spent so much time today talking with you about this one History Channel program. It dealt with a subject that I happen to know something about, so I could spot the lies and tell you about them. But there are literally thousands of other programs out there which also are full of lies. When you spot one, don't keep quiet about it. Speak out. Tell other people. And let me know about it too. Thanks for being with me again today.